I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold. I like those odds.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Mandalorian podcast. I'm Drew.
I'm Jeremiah.
I'm Andrew.
And today we have another Disney Plus gallery episode of the Mandalorian series. This is Process. So, if this is your first episode, you're 6 episodes behind, so you got to catch up. But if this isn't, welcome back. We're just going through the gallery episodes of The Mandalorian and how they made it and all that fun stuff. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy our commentary on it and everything like that. I'm not going to say what I normally say because I promise you guys I wouldn't say that anymore. So,
good.
Yeah. So, did you guys process this episode enough?
Gosh.
Well, this is the only episode that I watched twice, only because it was so short and...
Yeah, 18 minutes, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was kind of the most boring episode so far. For me, at least. And so I had to watch it twice, actually pick up anything I say.
For sure. It was fine. I don't know. I feel like there's definitely other episodes that were really a lot better, but this one was just... There's a reason why it was 18 minutes. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you, Jeremiah, for watching it twice, because I did not do that.
But yeah. It was just I don't know. When I was watching it the first time, I was like, this is kind of lame, because I felt like it took away from what I thought was the great directing by all the directors.
Yeah.
And I was kind of confused. Were the directors involved in creating the previz stuff, or were they just given the previz stuff and then they just copied what was already given?
There was a moment where Deborah Chow said, she was talking about, she's like, normally I have a week or something, and then we start shooting. But this time I had 2 months on the project to prepare before we even started shooting, and she was involved in the previz process, or at least it sounded like she was.
So it seemed like not as much as we thought. I feel like John did a lot more than, yeah.
Well, yeah, because there was a part where Rick was talking about for the prison episode, he directed and helped to choreograph along with the stunt team that whole scene where the Mandalorian was taking out the prison robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
he did that whole scene.
They were definitely involved for sure.
Well, and did you guys catch that John said that he wasn't there that much during that process? Because
episode, I think.
Yeah,
it was just during that episode.
Because I think he was
doing Lion King at the same time.
He was doing Lion King, and he was still doing Far From Home or Homecoming or whatever, the Spider-Man movie.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I remember hearing, though, that he would frequently leave to go do stuff for the Lion King. So, makes sense that he wasn't there for longer portions of certain episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like maybe, hopefully they did. Maybe they did. I don't know. It wasn't very clear, though. I do have to agree with Jeremiah. It wasn't very clear that if they did it all or not. It was clear that those two did a lot, but not the other ones.
Because I'm thinking that the whole reason for the previz stuff it seemed like rather than spending 2 months shooting everything, they could shoot everything in a much shorter time frame because mm-hmm. they had everything planned out in such detail, which yeah. I guess when if you do that, it's a lot cheaper to make previous stuff than to do 2 months of shooting and having that paying that entire crew to be there. That's yeah. my guess.
It well, seemed like that, but I think a previs is pretty expensive.
Well, normally previs is done for special effects shots. Normally it's not done for an entire production. Like that's mm-hmm. that's not what it's for. And they, right. they mentioned that in the episode. Yeah. And so I don't know for sure it's cheaper, but I think they were more so forced to do it because they were going to be filming so much of it in the volume.
Yeah, they did mention that, yeah.
And so this was the first time they had done that. And honestly, I think it was a genius idea. And I think it was a genius idea, excuse me, because previs is expensive, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Jon Favreau made a comment with Rick's episode. He was like, yeah, I watched that cut, which this is another thing that leads me to think that the directors were more involved than we think. But he was like, I watched the cut of that episode. And he was like, you had basically already pre-directed the whole thing. He was like, you know, yeah. you had basically already cut it together. And I think that's really valuable because I think it allows the directors to get across their vision of what they're going to be directing without the need of actual human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And then that can either be approved, it can be edited, it can, you know, be cut up and moved around, which is valuable without the need for human actors. But then it helps them really be able to visualize what they're going to be directing when the humans get on set. And then it helps them convey their message, you know, and what their vision is even better because they've taken the time to already kind of, you know, pre-direct most of it. I thought it was a genius idea and it was interesting. Did you guys check, or get what John said at the very end of the episode?
That he didn't get the script yet?
No, that was Rick that said that, but John said,
oh, John.
That they're doing that for every episode of season 2.
Season 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not what they did in every episode before?
I don't know if they did every episode, but if they did, it wasn't the standard. Like I still think they hadn't decided yet, but I think after seeing the way it worked this time, they were like, nope, this is going to be the new standard for this show.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's all I have to say about this episode.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. Like, it was pretty much just previs. Like, they could have just called this episode previs. Like, they just went over that technology and how a lot, they kind of already mentioned some of it too, like how a lot of that technology was developed during Lion King and how like they kind of were able to get it so that they can, with VR, change the camera angles inside the virtual world. And that's how they did it with previs too. Because then they hit all their shots and it literally is like a mimic. Most of it, not all of it, but some of it for some of the episodes were mimics of literally what they did in the real episode too. And so they kept going back and forth, which was cool. It kind of took away from it. Like Jeremiah said, like it just kind of, I kind of wish I didn't see that. I don't know why, but it's just, I don't know. They're just trying to make sure that they hit the movie quality level in a TV show series with a lower budget and less time. And it worked. It really did work.
Yeah.
Even though it seemed like it was boring and I didn't care, like it still paid off. Like it was still an amazing show. So I guess I can't complain. Like I wonder what it would have looked like if they didn't do previs.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And maybe, you know, and to be fair, they did talk about kind of the process. It was really, I mean, for sure it was focused on previs, but they talked about the whole process up to the actual shooting, which was, you know, it starts with this idea and then they go to storyboarding and then they animate it, the storyboarding, and get like a rough kind of rough cartoon, mostly black and white kind of cell shaded cartoon. And they get that going and make it, they make sure everything is going to work the way that they're thinking. And then they go to previs, which for the most part is very different from the normal process, because again, I don't have a ton of experience in this, but if my memory serves me correctly, normally it's, they go from storyboarding to like blocking the scenes with the actors.
Yeah.
And so it does take more time because you're having to figure out how things are going to work, because, you know, with a storyboard, you've got a cell and that cell has a drawing in it. And while that drawing can be very descriptive, there's still space between like one cell of the storyboard to the other where there has to be movement. You have to add dynamics. You have to add camera movements. You have to have all this, you know, add all this stuff. And it takes longer because they're doing it in the moment. While the director has a vision and the producers have a vision, they have to, there's a lot of communicating on what they want, how they want it, what it's going to look like, et cetera. And I see what you guys are saying, but I think the directors are doing the same job that they would be doing with the actors and actresses, except they're doing a great deal of it in advance,
mm-hmm,
in prep work with an animated model.
Yeah.
Because the directors, it wasn't very clear, but I'm sure that they were involved.
Yeah.
Because I think they were. It's so counterproductive to have someone go through and previs the entire thing and then just hand it to the director and the director be like, oh, copy. I guess I've got to copy this. Yeah, I got to copy this. You know, that's not the actual role of a director in its entirety at that point. So my big takeaway was from a workflow perspective, how much time and effort this can save and how productive you can be by doing things this way on a TV show. Now, on a movie, it's a completely different story.
Yeah.
I mean, like a feature film, I would not recommend doing it this way, but for TV, you know, air quotes TV, which is really like a streaming show, but like doing it that way, because there's so much of a smaller budget and the time frame is so constricted. Like, Deborah mentioned at one point that they had 3 days to do reshoots, which is normally, or was it Taika? I don't remember.
One of them was Taika. Like, he was doing the glass analogy, or
right. So they had like 3 days to do reshoots, and normally you have like a solid few weeks, you know, like on a feature film. And so it's very productive, and I think it gives everyone from set designing to VFX, because they mentioned that they had the VFX guys as a part of that conversation very early on.
Right.
And so I think it brought everybody, all of the various departments, onto the same page as the producers and the directors earlier than it might otherwise. And I also think it streamlined communication. So I don't know. I thought it was cool. I thought it was really smart, but it was kind of short and a little dry.
Yeah.
It was really dry, but yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. It told me stuff and it taught me about previs, because I didn't really know much about it beforehand. So it was cool. It's just, like you said, it was kind of dry. But we're not ranking this episode, so it's okay.
I did think it was really cool that Rick and the stunt team choreographed the entire fight and did a take with mocap suits, and then he was able to put on a VR headset and watch the fight with the 3D models in kind of like a real space, real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that environment. Was cool.
That was really cool.
So, okay, so real question. Does it take away even more though from the main actors? Especially The Mandalorian, because it seemed like he really didn't do much besides just walk and talk and or not really talk that much. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed like majority of, if not all of his action sequence, he didn't do any of them. So it seemed like.
I mean, I don't think it takes away. I don't think it takes away anything from me, because in reality, you know, like Jeremiah, especially after watching all the stuntmen react videos from Corridor.
Did you watch one from yesterday?
No, I've got it in my watch later.
Did you see what it's on?
No, I didn't. I hit.
It's a bunch of like martial arts movies. So they do like Ip Man and Bruce Lee stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I am so excited. Anyways, so like Drew, to answer your question, I was already under the assumption that there's just a really small group of people that actually do their own stunts, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a ton of people like Donnie Yen or Jackie Chan.
True.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has almost killed himself doing stunts. Like, that dude's crazy. But
yeah.
So it's not a surprise to me, I guess. Like, it's a bit of a bummer. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
well,
if we were talking in like production, like movie magic points,
yeah,
it definitely took, you know, like four away. But like, it's not a deal breaker for me by any means.
For sure. It just, like, for me, there were like a bunch of people were saying that he's a super good, like, he is a super good actor. But they're saying, like, because of all the stuff he did and Game of Thrones and all that stuff, that he's going to do a lot of his own stunts and all that stuff. They're saying that, but then it seemed like he didn't really do that. Like, it seemed like he had three different stunt people do. One was for shooting. One was that crazy guy with all that hair, which is so crazy to me that somehow they got all that hair to fit in that helmet.
Yeah.
Cause I have a helmet now and I don't know how the heck they did that.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen Game of Thrones, so I don't know what he's done.
Yeah, he one big scene, spoilers, 3, 2, 1, he dies, but it was like a full fighting 1v1 situation.
Did he do all those stunts?
And he didn't have a helmet on, so
it seemed like
he did it. And people were saying that he's really good, but it just kind of, maybe he just don't need to risk it in this situation. It reminds me that you need to read the credits and credit where credit's due. And I feel like a lot of the times we don't read the credits and don't appreciate like all that stuff. And it's sad.
Yeah.
And if I was an actor who didn't get credit because I was not good at talking, but I was really good at like punching and doing backflips, I would still want credit, you know? And so this purpose of this documentary series is bringing to light all the credit that we need to give to other people, which I do appreciate that. And I do like that part.
I was going to say, as a musician, it's kind of ingrained in me. Like,
I get it too.
Yeah. I was like, I always look at, anytime I get a record, I always look at the credits, because any good artist is going to list people, you know, list the people that did the stuff. And it's really cool, because then, like, I found people that I didn't even know played on records, and I was like, oh, that one guy's on everything, and I didn't know he was on this record too, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think this series is kind of like, yeah, it's first and foremost, the goal is to give a behind the scenes look, but I think a cool thing is it's kind of secretly celebrating all of this other stuff that people take for granted.
Yep.
So, yeah, I agree.
I like it.
Do you know what I also really, really like?
Coffee.
Oh, dang, no way. Right. How did you guys know?
Because, well, I was going to say because we like coffee too, but I like coffee too.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah's coming around.
Yeah, we're gonna get there.
Coming around. I haven't moved from my position at all, so
we're working on you. Anyways, the cool thing is I like really good coffee. Drew likes really good coffee, and the sponsor of today's episode makes really good coffee, and I think you, the listener, should take a moment and hear a special word from our sponsor. Hey everyone, Andrew here. I'm pleased to tell you that the sponsor for today's episode is Wesley Andrews Coffee and Tea. If you don't know anything about Wesley Andrews, you definitely should. They're an award-winning coffee roaster and shop in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they make fantastic coffee. The awesome thing is that they have a subscription service that gets those amazing coffee beans delivered to your door on an either weekly, bi-weekly, or a monthly basis. Unfortunately, we're all being negatively affected by this virus right now. But that being said, what a better time to try some new coffee and support a local business. I know they'll greatly appreciate it, and we will too. After all, using the code EMPIRERADIO with a capital E and a capital R with no space at checkout, when you start a new subscription at wesleyandrews.cc, you'll get 50% off your first purchase. I can't think of a better deal. Get 50% off, support a local Minneapolis coffee shop, and support your favorite Star Wars podcast. In the words of Emperor Palpatine, do it.
Do it.
Yeah, I think you should. You're not going to regret it.
Nope.
So, but yeah, I like the episode, all in all.
I guess there was one thing that we forgot to mention. Those right at the start, how they said they didn't want to make a show based off Star Wars, but based off of what Star Wars was based off of.
Yeah, I did appreciate that George John Favreau went back and was watching movies that George watched to prep for A New Hope, and so he kind of based what George's mindset was, not based off of the movie itself of A New Hope, but based off of what he was thinking and processing why he made A New Hope. And I thought that was a really cool way to do that.
Yeah, genius idea, John. Genius. If you're listening to this, and if you are, holy buckets. But, you know, 10,000 points for that. But my question is, and honestly, does this question need to be asked here? Probably not, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do you think the sequels could have been better if they had done the same thing?
I think that's why we're getting the series. Because I don't think we would have got this series if they didn't have such a good fan reaction to the series. So I think
I said the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
If they had done the same thing that Jon Favreau did with The Mandalorian with 7, 8, and 9. Mm-hmm. Do you think they would have been better?
Hands down. But that's what I'm saying. I think that's why they're doing this, to show the hardcore fans that they did change the way they're doing it.
Gotcha.
And everything else from here on out is going to be better than what they messed up. Finger quotes. Mm. And if you love it, you love it, and props to you. But yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why this is a show. But
sweet.
Yeah, I really do. I do like that Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni just made sure that it felt like the same timeline as the original trilogy, and it was on purpose, and it really did feel like it. Like, even if, like, there's a little pushback with the child sometimes, but I think it's really good, and I really do appreciate, like, the way they went with it. And it does really feel like a Western, but it's okay. It's okay.
What do you mean it's okay?
I mean, it's okay that it feels like a Western. Some people don't like Westerns.
Oh. They're not... Okay. Don't get me wrong. They're not my favorite things in the world. Like, honestly, if I have to choose and there's things other than Westerns on the menu, I probably won't pick the Western. However, I really love, like, the whole... No, I was going to say, I love the whole idea of like the gunslinger.
Yeah.
And, you know, the lone, like the deputy lone wolf or something, you know, mm-hmm. like I think there are some really good Westerns out there, but, I really love that this, like they were advertising this as like a space Western show, you know, early on, and they nailed it.
Oh, 100%.
In the best way, you know, in the best way, like that whole, yeah, this is a Western, but it happens in space.
Yep.
And it wasn't too Western-y, but it wasn't too spacey either. I thought it was a good balance. So
it was a good balance, you know, for sure. Did you guys like how they went into detail though? Like the real reason, like a big reason why they used
the volume.
Not the volume. Previs. The big reason that helped them was with episode 3, that whole sequence and trying to nail down those shots and stuff like that. And they were talking about that because having that many people in a room, trying to hit, like, because they even talk about even with having the volume, they still were running out of the fake ammo or whatever they use.
Yeah.
For the special, like the fireworks and stuff from shooting guns and stuff like that. And they're still, even with having a cheat sheet, essentially, like on what angles they want and like everything, they still had to keep shooting that much to get that scene right. And that, honestly, that is probably my favorite scene in The Mandalorian, is when all those Mandalorians came out. So good.
Yeah, imagine how long that would have taken if they had not had a pre-visualization of what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it takes a special mind to think of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of, like, pre-shoot angles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. So did she say that she had 2 months on that one scene or, like, that episode?
Yeah.
Prior, that's the episode that she was talking about that she had 2 months on. Do two episodes?
I mean, regardless, she had 2 months of work on her episodes in general.
In previous.
Before. Well, that and planning and stuff before they started filming. Which is, I mean, again, I don't really have a standard for this, but I would imagine as far as media production goes, that is a long time.
Is it though? 2 months is not that long.
Well, yeah, but they shoot whole movies in like 3 months or 4 months. So she had all that time to work on just one single episode.
Which is what I'm saying is like for TV, dude, that's a long time.
For TV, that's a long time for sure.
Yeah.
That's fair. Jeremiah, did you want to mention anything about how he dropped that he didn't have it? So they must have filmed this kind of quick, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was... The discussion was probably...
Right after,
because they did filming for season 2 this past, like... Was it, like, April they wrapped up shooting or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
And so before if he didn't COVID. Have this... Yeah, so... They didn't have the scripts until... To obviously way before that. So this was probably filmed like last fall, like when the show was premiering.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been right after they were done.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they already knew it was a hit.
Yeah.
But then also it does make sense though, because they called the child the last episode baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The whole time. So. Well, this is kind of a shorter episode, guys, and because it was kind of a shorter episode to us, right? Like,
yeah.
So, any last thoughts or?
Well, next week is score, so I'm assuming that's referring to the music of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that episode is probably gonna take a while.
Yeah.
And then one more episode, you guys, right after that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that wraps her up.
And then we're done until October. Well, yeah. Until like trailers come out, then we'll discuss trailers. But
oh true. Yeah,
true, true. But you know what's not done ever?
Empire Radio.
Empire Radio. That is right.
Oh.
If you guys haven't heard, then I don't know why, but Empire Radio is the Death Star to the other ships. It's the head podcast of this show and Clone Wars Saved. So if you are just now tuning in for the first time, welcome and go check out Empire Radio on any podcast streaming app. That's just Empire Radio, and that's a weekly discussion about Star Wars, news about Star Wars, and our thoughts and just being Star Wars fans and living a Star Wars life, essentially. So go check out those episodes. Those are weekly episodes about Star Wars and stuff like that. And then if you did finish or you're about to finish Clone Wars, the newest season, season 7, there is a podcast out there for you to listen to as well. And that is Clone Wars Saved. We go through every single episode of Clone Wars bit by bit, bite by bite, and all that fun stuff. So you can go check that out at Clone Wars Saved. And that's on every podcast streaming app as well. Andrew, where can they find us on the socials?
Instagram and Facebook, and the @ and or the URL names or whatever, they're both Empire Radio Podcast. And if you're wondering, we don't have social medias for the other podcasts, including this one, because we're all under the Empire Radio family. And so you're going to get content related to everything there. Also, one thing, if you didn't know already, there's a link below this podcast episode in your podcast streaming choice selection. Yeah. Where you can leave a voicemail. You can support us, which is a great thing. If you feel inclined to do that, because that every little bit helps. But there's also a link where you can leave us a voicemail, or like a voice memo or something like that, that we can listen to. And if we like it, we may even play it during an episode and react to it, interact with it, whatever. But one thing that I think we've all been noticing recently is that there are a lot of listeners here for The Mandalorian, but so few for Empire Radio and Clone Wars Saved. And I don't know why that is. But if you have an opinion as to why you haven't jumped over and listened to the entire Empire Radio family of podcasts, and you think there's something we can improve upon, that's also an outlet for you to use that for. So you can leave us a voicemail and be like, hey, I haven't jumped over because you guys suck.
But I still want to listen to the Mandalorian podcast.
Right. Right. But really, right. Constructive criticism is valuable to us, because we wouldn't be doing this without our fans and our listeners and you guys and what you think is important. So feel free to leave us some constructive criticism, or if you jumped over to Empire Radio, and you're like, heck yeah, I love it, and I'm one of the weekly listeners,
welcome to the dark side.
Yeah. Tell us. That would be super encouraging. But either way, we want some feedback. That would be really valuable to us.
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah. Also, there was a sweet unboxing video over at Empire Radio Podcast on Instagram. So go check out that video. And we're trying to make sure that stuff stays relevant. So just go check out our socials, and you can jump in our DMs if you want, but yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. But anyways, I think that's it. Is that it, boys?
Yep. That is it.
All righty. This has been the Mandalorian Podcast, brought to you by Empire Radio. I'm Drew.
I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Andrew.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.